just falls in line.
The greatest leaders can't help but magnetically draw people in around them, altering the course and flow of all the lives they come into contact with. And most do it without ever realizing it. It just happens. People are drawn to passion because genuine passion is so rare, especially since people are too preoccupied with purpose. And that's the power of identity. Identity is consistent. Consistency is safe. Safety establishes trust. Trust leads to belief, and belief leads to commitment. Commitment leads to action, and action leads to production. All of this works together to create results based on one person or one company's identity. Steve Jobs never would have said that his purpose in life was to create the iPod, the Apple brand, or save Pixar from bankruptcy. Okay, he would have said those things were not part, he would have said those things were part of his passion. That passion is what propelled him and his companies to the top, not purpose. His passion stemmed from his identity, the things he knew about himself that no one else did. True identity is what only we know about ourselves, that no one else can, and our purpose is to be true to that. The reason why we seek purpose is because we have been tricked into accepting a false social premise that shames us into believing that our passion is somehow unacceptable and unrealistic. We seek purpose because of shame. We seek purpose so we can find a socially acceptable way of fitting in. In other words, purpose has been diluted to become a type of mediocrity or predictability. There's nothing profound about a purpose that is shared with millions of people. That's not profound. That's common. It's a different type of safety called security. It shows another thing. Purpose is for groups, not individuals. It's a way of labeling, identifying, and classifying people. You might be African American, Caucasian, or Asian. Your purpose is to be placed in that group and to self-identify with other people like you. Let's take a quick look at one of the biggest contributors to groupthink, purpose-driven self-improvement thought leadership. That would be Rick Warren's purpose-driven life concept. A friend of mine shared this article written by Warren, and the topic is, life is about relationships, not accomplishments. Now, offhandedly, I might agree with the title, but as I dug into the article, I found some serious problems that I think underscore the heart of what I'm talking about. Midway through the article, Warren states, "One day, you're going to die, and you're going to stand before God. When he evaluates your life, he's not going to look at your bank account or your list of accomplishments or your grades. He won't care about all of your sports trophies. He's not going to look at your endorsements or your resume. God is going to evaluate your life on one basis. How much did you love God and other people?" What do you suppose Rick Warren's purpose is? I'm not here to debate scripture. I'm here to debate premise. Rick Warren's purpose is to lead and influence a group of millions of people, guiding them in how he believes they are meant to live their lives according to their mutually shared religion. In the previous post, I said that when you make your life about the pursuit of purpose, it ceases to be you who lives, and other people's purpose that lives through you. And this is what that looks like. Without realizing it, because I sincerely believe that he is completely unaware of what he's doing, for the most part, Warren just said, your identity is not important, your passion is not important, and that your life effectively does not matter to God. He essentially said that the purpose of your life is to sit on your couch, love God, and love other people. And why bother doing or being anything else if nothing else matters? You know how many Christians I've counseled who feel like they're bad people because that's not the only life they want to live? They feel like they're evil people because they strongly desire to do great things with their life, but their desire, it seems to them, is at moral odds with what they've been told they need to do. They feel like if they did what was in their heart to do, it would be selfish, and that selfishness would betray the image of what other men have put in their mind that defines what it means to be a, quote, good Christian. They believe they have to choose between themselves and God. And all I can think is, what a horrible place to be. They believe they need to choose between satisfying God and living a satisfying life. Unless that satisfying life comes in the form of settling rather than aspiring. There are businessmen who fail at business because people like Rick Warden told them their purpose was to love God and not be who they are. And they think that making lots of money is evil. And then there are women who think that they need to divorce their husbands because they think they don't measure up to what Rick Warren's image of a good Christian wife seems to be. And they've come to believe the man that they love would be better off with someone else, meaning an unaspirational, meek and loving Christian wife. And those are extremes. But what's normal is that there are millions and millions of Christians who live their lives in hopeless mediocrity. But thanks to Warren, they suddenly feel like they're doing something right. On the other hand, I know a woman, a very successful businesswoman, who created a foundation that she funds with the profits from her business. We're talking millions of dollars. This foundation, among other things, builds homes for the extreme poor in third world countries, frees women from sex slavery, and feeds widows and orphans. If she had listened to Rick Warren, would she have given her business away and sat on the couch because there's no significance to her life? And God doesn't care about all that. All she needed to do was love, right? That's kind of a vague and unspecific concept to me. And what I find really interesting about all this is that it is purpose at the expense of significance. Warren demonstrates what I find so often from many gurus, which is leadership divorced from wisdom. You weren't made for mediocrity, and thankfully, purpose is not what distinguishes you. Passion is. What is passion for, if not significance? Your passion, living through you, was meant to change your part of the world, your part of the industry where your business operates. And don't misunderstand me and think that by significance, I mean that you need to be a celebrity or something like that. Significance is completely up to you. I can't tell you what it is. Only you know what is significant to you, and that's my point. In the case of the businesswoman I mentioned above, her passion was to take care of the poor, but her skill set was making money. So her passion and her skill seemed to be at complete odds with each other. Now, most people who are passionate about the poor, this is what they do. They give away everything that they have. They join a nonprofit and they live financially broke lives. Meanwhile, they shame their donors of being financially successful into giving them money so that they can take care of the poor. Now, what's more is this woman knew a lot of other business people who were also highly skilled at making money. And she recruited them to give to her foundation to multiply its impact in the world. So tell me, where does that fit into Rick Warren's world? He doesn't speak to you doing that. Instead, he feeds your fear of your own significance. Isn't that interesting? In Warren's purpose-driven life, both of these things are removed from you, significance and passion. Your purpose is to be a loving, couch potato. And any desire for significance is, well, it's sinful at worst and a waste of time at best. But passion is the real fuel that powers the world. Passion is the reason why you can't wait to get out of bed in the morning. And if you're married, think about the morning of the first date you had planned with the person who had become your spouse. And now that you have that image in your mind, compare your first morning of your first date to the morning that you got married. Your passion for the person you were about to marry probably kept you up all night. Me, I love looking for ways to help struggling business owners believe in their dreams again. That's why I get out of bed and write this stuff, because I used to be where you are.